Okay, John chapter 13. In John chapter 13 this morning, we have Bibles up front, by the way, also back on the counter. John chapter 13. It is a blessing to be able to be here together. It's a blessing to have God's Word. So as a ministry, we really believe that the Bible is God's Word. It communicates everything that God wants us to know about Him and about life and about us. It's everything we need to know right here in this book. It's His revelation for us. The best way that we can honor God as a ministry is not just to teach from His Word, but to teach through His Word. So we have been, since 2016, in the life and ministry of Jesus, looking at all four Gospels in a chronological way. Jesus gives three very important discourse messages. The Sermon on the Mount would be one of them. What's called the Olivet Discourse about the end times would be another, and right here would be considered the Upper Room Discourse. The Upper Room Discourse is in John 13, 14, 15, 16, and 17. What we're learning today will help us greatly. Jesus Christ is going to be going to the cross the next day. So look at John 13 with me. In John 13 and in chapter 13, verse 1 of John, the Bible says, "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come and that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And supper being ended, the devil, having already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hand, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he arose from the supper, he laid aside his garments, he took a towel, and he girded himself. After that, he poured water into a basin. He began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel which he was girded. And then he came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to Jesus, 'Lord, are you washing my feet?' And Jesus answered and said to him, 'What I am doing, you do not understand now, but you will know after this.' And Peter said to him, 'You shall never wash my feet.' And Jesus said, 'If I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me.' And Simon said to him, 'Lord, not my feet only, but my hands and my head.' And Jesus said to him, 'He who is bathed need only wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who would betray him. Therefore he said, 'You are not all clean.' And so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, he sat down and he said to them, 'Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you say, "Well, for I am." If then I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who was sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." So, Father, we thank you for your word. We pray for the Spirit of God to open up our hearts, that we could receive the word of God with gladness and joy. There's things, God, within all of our lives right now. I believe absolutely, 100% confident in God's word and his Spirit to accomplish a great work in each of our lives if we are willing and we say, "God, right now, clean my heart, my mind, and my will. Make me attentive to your voice. In Jesus' name, amen." You may be seated. Sometimes in putting together a message, I like to put little roadblocks along the way. It helps me in my teaching, and maybe it helps you in understanding. So in this text right now, just following these words, there's a table, there's a traitor, there's a towel, and there's a teacher. Once again, we see in our text, there's a table, a traitor, a towel, and a teacher. So we're going to build our messages along those road signs as we go. So we saw the first one is a table. In chapter 13 of John and in verse 1, what we begin to see now is that this is the last night that Jesus is going to be with his disciples. And think about this, would you please? Would you just think for a moment that Jesus Christ has been with these men for over 3 years. And I believe that he's been with them day and night the whole time. I believe for the most part, 24/7 with them. Certainly there's times of pulling away for prayer and other things, but he's committed to them for these last 3+ years with these disciples. These are the men that are going to take this work and this word forward. Think for a moment. For us, typically we get together once a week, sometimes during the midweek, which is a great blessing. But you think about these every day with Jesus. So in essence, it would be like us, if we're meeting just once a week, it would be like 10 years together with Jesus. But here it is, 3 years. And you're hoping, you're believing, you're desiring for these disciples to have gotten it. We get it, Jesus. We understand. It's in our heart. We are all in and on board for you, Jesus. Count on us. We wish that were true. But you see, in chapter 13 and verse 1, when Jesus said that his hour had come, we know that he has been on a divine timetable ever since he came to earth. Even his arrival to earth, according to the epistles, says in the appointed time Christ came. But his earthly ministry, when it started, remember his first miracle. It was in John 2, and it was at the wedding in Cana. And they made a request, and he made it really clear. He said, at the beginning of the ministry, my hour has not come. So Jesus knew that the hour that he's communicating is his death on the cross. Christ came to die for the sins of the world. That's why he came here, to die for the sins of the world. There's an appointed time because the Lamb of God has, you know, shed his blood before the foundations of the world. The Lamb of God before the foundation of the world, this is in place. He's going to come and die for us. And his hour had not yet come. But now he's saying it's now. The time has come. So they're going to have a meal together here. Now, again, in verse 1, they're going to have a meal together. And it's interesting because when they have a meal together, you're thinking of a picture of the Last Supper in your mind. And when you look at that picture, it looks like maybe some espresso stand in Italy or something, the way they have the table there and all up. It's not that way at all. According to what I have studied and looked at and even taken the scenario from here, there's a small table that's on the ground, and they're going to lean on their left elbow and they're going to eat with their right hand. And so you've got this configuration taking place, and their feet are behind them, and they're going to eat food. And John, it says, he's leaning on Jesus. So John would be right next to Jesus, leaning on Jesus. Across the way would be Peter, because it tells us Peter's looking at John, thinking, what's going on? You'll see it in our text. This is a situation that's taken place. Now, in the Northwest, when someone comes and visits you in the Northwest, and they've been traveling, if they're familiar with the Northwest, they're going to come to your house, you're waiting for them, you see them coming, you open the door for them, they've got a coat on, it's wet outside, you help take their coat off, you hang it up. And in the Northwest, people take their shoes off right away and set them there. Now, I'm going to go see my mom for 3 days next week. Isn't that great? She lives in Southern California. They don't take shoes off at all. You just come in. It's a hospitality. You just come in. Matter of fact, she texted me last night. She has an iPhone, too. She's 90. She texts me. She says, the Holy Spirit's been speaking to me. You need to call me. So I called her. And she goes, I have laryngitis. She told me that. She goes, so I don't know if that, you know, I just feel like I needed to tell you that before you get here. And I told her I have bronchitis. So you have laryngitis, I have bronchitis, I'm sure our cooties will be fine. Looking forward to seeing you, Mom. But when you come in the house, you just keep your shoes on. But here, you take your shoes off, and then someone will say, sit down. What can I get you? You want a coffee? You want an espresso? What kind of chocolate latte? What do you want? Right? I mean, that's how we treat people. In this culture right here, it's a little bit different. They're walking around and there's no paved roads. It's all dirt and they're wearing sandals, best case. And so when they come in, there's already a basin of water there and a towel. And they usually have somebody, a hired servant, a slave that is there. And the customary thing would be is to wash feet. So this is a scenario. So this is this room that they're going to. Now, there isn't an assigned person, an assigned slave, a servant to be there. And Jesus was maybe hoping that of the 12 that he's chosen, one of them might take the initiative. But they didn't. And I'm thinking, and perhaps he's thinking, I'm going to the cross tomorrow. You guys don't get it. What I've done, I'm laying my life down. But you see, if you turn over just a little bit to the left and you get over to Luke's gospel, in Luke's gospel, chapter 22, in Luke's gospel, chapter 22. So again, the Bible is the best commentary on the Bible. So in Luke's gospel, they give us this situation. But in Luke chapter 22 and in verse 24, what's happening is at this very time, now there was also a dispute amongst them to which of them would be considered the greatest. So here we are at this Last Supper, at this time, disciples are not initiating any sense of servanthood. Jesus says, I love these guys and I love them to the very end. I've never stopped loving them. My hour has come. What's wrong with these guys? Because they're contending with one another. They're disputing. And I did a further study, and it wasn't just like some soft argument. It was a loud, argumentative time that they were having against one another regarding their position, their greatness, their strategy for what's ahead. And many times the church hasn't learned much of that lesson yet either. So in the same situation right here, it's a very sacred, holy moment. Jesus is saying, I love them. But in verse 2, we see the traitor. That here's Judas Iscariot. This is somebody that's been with Jesus. He's been with Jesus the whole time. He's been there when Jesus is walking on the water. He's feeding the 5,000. He's healing the people. He's there. Lazarus, come forth. Judas is there. He hears all the messages, the Sermon on the Mount, everything. He's one of them. And listen, the other disciples have no idea that he is the one in whom the devil is going to possess. When they are looking, and we'll get this in next week's study, they are not looking at Judas at all. He has royally deceived everybody in terms of his true intentions. And so think of the dynamic. My close disciples are striving amongst one another, and Satan is in the mix with us, the devil. And I'm headed to the cross. That changes the situation a little bit. But he said, listen, I love every one of these. I love every one of these. You're going to say, not everyone, right, Pastor? I mean, you told me in the mix, there's this guy named Judas. He loves Judas. He loves him. I appreciated what you had to say for communion, Victor, that we are all made in the image of God. Whether we want to yield to that or not is a different situation or story. But we're all made in his image, and he loves us. God loves us. And when we get to scriptures like this, we need to drink it in that God loves us. Well, in verse 3, it tells us, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands when he had come from God and was going back to God. This is almost like the beginning of the Gospels of John. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that has been made, that Jesus is the eternal God. Jesus is eternal. He's always existed. And back here in verse 3, it's helping us understand again the deity of Jesus Christ. So the deity, that means that Jesus Christ is God. If you say, well, no, I don't think he's God, I just think he's a good man, I would say that your thinking is flawed, because he never proclaimed himself to be a good man. He proclaimed himself to be God, absolutely God. He is the eternal God. So when we say deity, we're referring to Jesus Christ being God. Now, the word deity is used worldwide. So you can go to various countries, and this is our deity. In some countries, they have hundreds or thousands of gods that they worship. We worship only one, the true and the living God. One God. God has manifested himself as God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. One God. And Jesus says, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God. He's ready to depart. He's ready to go back home. John 17 is going to unfold to us this prayer. But just listen, if you look at verse 3 again, what you have to realize that Jesus is all-powerful. He is all-powerful. Everything the Father has given into his hands, everything is all-powerful. And with all of the power that he has, what he could have done in response to his disciples, what he could have done in response to the darkness and evil, all power, possessing all power, all power. He uses all of his power in verse 4. You'll see, this is the towel. We talked about the table. We talked about the traitor. Here's the towel. He rose again, and he laid aside his garments. So whatever garments he had, he placed a towel around himself. And now he's going to do what nobody else was willing to do. And the reason they weren't willing to do that is because they were striving. They were contentious. They were looking for personal greatness. They were looking for themselves. And they didn't have the heart of Jesus at all. It's the same for any of us. When I look to myself, when I'm just concerned about myself, I don't have the heart of Jesus. And I'm not willing to do the simplest things. And when I'm not willing to do the simplest things, then I think it takes away from what I'm doing today. To do today meant last week that I had a big stick trying to figure out why the septic thing wasn't working. Right back here, before Doug came in and rescued me, appreciate that. But Pam, when she saw my pants when I came home, hazard mess. We've got a washing machine, it takes care of it. But you're willing to do whatever it takes. And Jesus is helping us understand, if we get to a point in our relationship with God that we're not willing just to be a servant, that's all. All of us here are servants. All servants. We're saved to serve. We're all servants. That's it. And we serve at different capacities and with different gifts, but we're just servants. We're servants of the King. When I die and look at the Lord face to face, he's not going to say, well done, good and faithful pastor. He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We're all servants. He's not going to say, well done, good and faithful leader. He's going to say, servant. And so Jesus is illustrating here in his last few hours on earth a powerful message. Again, he has all power at his disposal. And what he does is more powerful than anything else. He pours water into a basin. He begins to wash the disciples' feet. He wipes them with a towel. And then we see in verse 6, he's coming to Simon Peter. And Simon Peter objects to Jesus, and he says in verse 6, Lord, are you washing my feet? And you know, Peter has been challenging Jesus on a number of situations. Sometimes he gets it right. Flesh and blood didn't reveal that to you, but my Father who's in heaven, because he says, Who alone has words of eternal life? But you do, Jesus. But then he made a statement regarding Christ and the cross. And Jesus said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." He'd be going back and forth like a yo-yo. And here we are right here. And Peter says to the Lord, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus said to him, "What I'm doing, you do not understand now, but you'll know after this." So even what Jesus is doing right now, right here, 2,000 plus years ago, what he's doing right here, right now, then, at that time, it is affecting us and our understanding today. We just had communion. We understand things about Jesus and his Holy Spirit and his working. He's enlightening us. Peter said, "You shall never wash my feet." I would advise us never to say never and never to say never to Jesus. That would be a good thing. In our home, when my wife and I, through the years, maybe once or twice we had this discussion, I'm not quite sure how frequent, but sometimes the terminology comes my way as "you never" or "you always." I love you. And I always want to rebel against that. Because it's not never and it's not always. But it does cause me to realize I need to repent. That helps out. Simon says, "Not my feet only, but my hands and my head." When the Lord spoke to him and he realized, "Peter, you just spoke against Jesus. And by what you said, by denying Jesus what he wanted to do to you, you forfeit a relation and probably eternity regarding this specifically," what he's saying. And Peter, it dawned on him what he said, and basically, "I'll take a shower." I mean, just everything. Just let it all pour down upon me. You know, it was John the Baptist also with water that John said to Jesus, "Jesus, I'm not worthy to baptize you. I'm not even worthy to loosen your straps of your sandal." But Jesus says, "No, let it be so." Jesus also, speaking about water on the feast day, he was speaking about the water, and "out of you will flow rivers of living water." So he's used water many times. But right here, specifically, he's speaking about the redemptive work of the blood of Jesus Christ that forgives us from all of our sins, being washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. And if there is no washing in the blood of Jesus Christ for salvation, there is no salvation. There is no salvation apart from the blood of Jesus Christ. None. And so when you see this here, and Jesus said in verse 10, "He who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you." So in our walk with God, when I fall short, when I sin in this world, my feet get dirty and my mind gets dirty, my heart gets dirty in this world that I walk within. I don't need to come forward and say, "I need to get saved," because I am saved. I need to come forward and say, "Jesus, I need you to wash my feet today." If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What happens is my fellowship with God is greatly hindered because of my sin. I do not need to get saved. I am saved, but I'm dirty. I have sinned, and I need to ask God for forgiveness for my sins. That's what Jesus is saying right here. And this is an area for us in our walk with God. The application is extremely rich for all of us. I have never known a time in my life, I'll be 65 coming up here, 40 years as a believer, 33 years as a pastor, but I have never known a time in my life that things have been so hostile just in the world, so powerfully hostile, mean, argumentative, everything, whether it's in a political realm, whether it's in a school and teachers, whether and in the church. I mean, just across the board, there is for some reason an elevation and an escalation of just meanness at a degree I have never known. Disrespect, whether it's the flag, whether it's athletes, whether it's, I mean, across the board, whether it's entertainment, just choose an area and see. And of course, we have social media that obviously can push all this stuff out there. And so you just get it at full force like never before. And what happens is it affects our hearts and affects our minds. And you take all that stuff in from the world and you're not doing something with that. You're not guarding your mind. You're not guarding your heart. I pay attention. I pay attention to the news. I pay attention to what people say. I pay attention to what's going on out there. But I need to protect my mind and my heart from the vile things that are going on out there. And when we look here, we have to realize that this attitude is permeating the church. You think, oh, come on now. Listen, it permeated him at the Last Supper. These guys were arguing and disputing and wouldn't get up and wouldn't serve the Lord or minister to him. You got the devil in the mix. The devil is in the mix. The devil is around. Demonic realm is all around. You've got people you don't know really where their heart is at. Is it for God or not? I mean, Judas fooled them all. So when we look here and we see, I believe, what would honor God? What when we look at here, we see Jesus, and so obviously there's humility when he robes himself and he gets down and he's washing feet. And think for a moment. How do you think he washed their feet? He washed them, I'm certain, very gently, looking at each one. I mean, just the love of God washing each one. Unlike me, because I'd come to Judas and I'd take out something of a scratch pad, you know, from a wire brush. You traitor. What you're doing to our Savior. Oh, it's bleeding. Excuse me. He didn't do that. That's why I say this is so rich. This is so rich. He loved them to the end. And Judas, doing the devil's work in all eternity of hell, could never say at all that Jesus did not love me. I imagine that part of hell is realizing how much God loved him and how much he rejected God. That's torment in and of itself, despite whatever else is there. So I just want to let you know, I have never reported myself to be perfect, and you know that. I'm far from perfect. But I do desire to be faithful. That's what God's asked me to be, is to be faithful. And you say, well, you know, I got 10 things about you in the church. And I says, that's no problem. If you got 10, I'm feeling good, because I got about 30 for myself. I mean, I'm aware. I'm aware of how God wants to change me and grow me and help me be like him. I'm aware of all of that. You're aware of it too. Not only about me, but about yourselves. We're aware. And what Jesus did is the way he washed their feet, if you can just again imagine, he says, I'm going to give you an illustration. I'm going to show you. I'm going to give you an example. The way he washed their feet, the way he treated them, that's the way we should treat one another. We should treat one another that way. Gentleness. Kindness. Just, hey, and we're there to help each other and to help each other with our walk with the Lord. And again, in verse 13, he says, you know, you call me teacher and Lord, and I am. And he says in verse 14, if then I, the Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you also wash one another's feet. He's not telling us that after the communion service, we have a feet washing service. He's not saying that at all. It's not a part of what he's saying. As a matter of fact, if you look, that you should do not what I have done, but as I have done this. As. In other words, he's showing us how to be a servant. He's showing us the priority he gives to others. He's showing us what it means to die to ourselves and to live for others. He's showing us what love looks like. Verse 16, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So if Jesus did this, then we should do this. He is our master. And then lastly, in verse 17, if you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I think that we have a lot of growing knowledge, which is good. But I believe the Lord would want us to move out in our service in his name. That's what he would like us to do. This last month, such a blessed month. Thank you, everyone here again, for just your participation in prayer, your heart and understanding. And what's before us for this next month, for February? Every Monday night, we'll continue our prayer gathering. It'll be at 7 o'clock instead of 5:30. It'll be at 7 o'clock every Monday night right here. And really continuing with the heart that God's given us through this month. We've always prayed on Monday night, but moving it to 7. Then for February at 7 o'clock on Wednesday nights through February, the four nights, it's about understanding the gift or gifts, biblically speaking, that God has given to us, the serving gifts, to understand them, to have a biblical idea, definition, and then to move in a direction on how we can take what he's given to us, how can we serve one another, and how can we serve beyond here? Because our prayer through a month was God's work here and God's work outside of here. But we need men and women and our young adults to say yes. And so I do have a sheet that I printed. You can look at it later. And so on Wednesday night, that's what's happening. Because we want to move forward and not just be hearers of the word, but doers also. Let's stand. The worship team has additional song for us, right? Maybe? No? No? Okay. He said no. No problem. It is a great blessing just to trust the Lord. When we're looking here at our scriptures today, just in summary, there was a table, and every one of us have a table. We eat at a table. We gather around the table. Do we gather around the table with a sense of love for one another? Do we do that? Every one of us, there's a traitor in our hearts. There's something in my heart that wants to go against God. And I say, God, I want you to reign and rule in my heart. God has asked every one of us to experience the power of the towel. You can have a position or be in a place that can have significant wherewithal or authority over others, but do you use your power? Are you known for using your power, your place, your position to serve others? Are you a man? Are you a woman of the towel? And then the teacher is Jesus. Let's look to Jesus. He is teaching us about himself. He wants us to become like him. So, Father, I do thank you for this fellowship. I thank you for what you're doing here in our church family. I thank you, God, for leading us through this last month in a great blessing. And we pray, God, that you would strengthen us. I pray, God, for a moving of your Holy Spirit with a new desire and a new willingness and a new heart to say, this is my church family, and I want to participate. I want to be a part of it. I want to be experiencing the power of the towel of what it is to be a servant. And so I pray, God, that you would help us all to really look to you and to see from you how we can really be able to to do the things you've asked us to do, to serve you, to serve others, and to see others know you, walk with you. So I pray in advance for the great blessing upon this work in the weeks ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.